Our first reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, 9 through 14. This is from the English Standard Version. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, for God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" May God add blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.
Our second reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus walks on the water. Have you kids ever heard of that one? Did you know Jesus walked on the water? Who else walked with Jesus on the water? And Peter, right? Peter? All right, I'll read you the scriptures because we don't always remember. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And then he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. And the boat by this time was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against it. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many walkers do we have in the house? Like to go on a walk or a hike? Or joggers, perhaps. Some of you are like, "I don't know. My wife makes me go." Your wife makes you go, huh, honey? I know. So this morning, I want to invite each of you to go on a walk. The Bible is, among other things, a list of unforgettable walks. The first one was taken by God himself, who, we are told, used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. But as a general rule, God asked people to walk with him. You remember, there was that hard walk that Abraham took with his son Isaac on the road to Moriah. There was that liberating walk Moses and the Israelites took through the path that was normally occupied by the Red Sea. And there was that frustrating walk that took them on the roundabout way of the desert for 40 years. There was Joshua's triumphant walk around the wall of Jericho, or at Jericho, and the disciples' illuminating walk to Emmaus, Paul's interrupted walk to Damascus, and there was that walk that was so sad and so holy, they gave it its own special name. That walk from the Praetorium to Golgotha, the way of great sorrow. But perhaps the most unforgettable walk of all was taken by Peter. the day he got out of the boat and the day he walked on the water. It is unforgettable. Not so much because of where he was walking as what he was walking on and who he was walking with. I think when Peter went treading on the waves, he was experiencing walking at its very finest. So we're going to start a new sermon series titled, If You Want to Walk on Water, Guess What? You Have to Get Out of the Boat. I haven't always gotten out of the boat. Sometimes I stay really nice and comfortable inside my comfort zone, whatever that boat might be. Sometimes I put one foot out, but I keep the other one in there just in case I don't want to go forward. And so we're going to do a sermon series. What is your boat? What is hard for you to let go? What do you need to surrender? Where do you need to get out of the boat so that you can walk on water? I think Peter's walk that day is an invitation for us still today. To each of us who, like Peter, want to step out in faith, who want to experience something more of the power and the very presence of God, not just on Sundays, but in everyday situations. So I want all of us to have water walking be a picture in our mind of doing with God's help what we can never do on our own. Anybody here try to do things all by yourself? All alone, and sometimes we don't even tell people we're struggling and we just do it. When we look to scripture, we see a consistent pattern of what happens in a life that God wants to use and improve when we walk in the way of Jesus Christ. I call it discipleship. And you know what? There's always going to be a call. Each and every single one of us, there's always a call. God asks ordinary people to engage in an act of extraordinary trust of getting out of the boat. There's always going to be fear. I wish I could tell you young folks that there's not fear, but us older folks, even the 17-year-old older folk, there is fear sometimes, always. God has this inextinguishable habit of asking people to do things that are scary to them. There's always reassurance, though. God's promise, His presence. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. An angel assures Gideon, who had certainly never been addressed by that title before. God is with us. There's always a decision. Sometimes, as with Moses and Gideon, people said yes to God's call. But sometimes, as with the 10 frightened spies or the rich young ruler that talked to Jesus face to face, and they said, no, thank you. There's always a decision. There's always a changed life. Those who say yes to God's call don't walk the water perfectly. They're going to get wet. But because they said yes to God, they learn and grow even from our failures. And then they become part of God's actions in the world to redeem the world. There's always a changed life for those who say yes. And you know what? For those who say no. I believe that this pattern from Scripture continues today. I believe that there is some aspect of your life in which God might be calling you to walk with Him and to Him. And that when we say yes to His calling, it sets in motion a divine dynamic far beyond merely human power. Maybe it has something to do with something at work. Maybe it has something to do with a relationship. Or relational risk, or a gift that you could develop, resources you could give, whatever those resources might be. It probably will be involving you facing your deepest fear. Certainly, it will go to the very core of who you are and what you do. So I invite you all to go for a walk with me through this sermon series. We will learn the skills essential of water walking by discerning God's call in our lives individually, as a family, and corporately as the church. Transcending fear, risking faith, managing failure, and trusting God. My hope and your prayer, even as that newbie pastor, is that this series will light a fire perhaps within your soul, or put more flame or wind into your spirit, or perhaps you need to take a break and take a step down so you can be renewed. But my hope, my prayer is that your desire to want God is deepened by wanting more of God. I hope and pray that this won't just be a Sunday message, but a Sunday message would prompt us to say yes to whatever God might be leading us. So will you accept the invitation to come and to walk? So Peter walking on the water, how do you see it in your mind's eye? We all know the story very well. It was right after Jesus fed the 5,000 hungry people. And he tells the disciples, I want you to go out to the water, get in your boat and go out there. And then he turns to the crowds and he says, okay, I know you guys are all full now. I want you guys to go. And so he disperses the disciples and also the crowd. And where does he go? He goes to the top of the mountain because he needs some renewing time. Have you ever done so much ministry that you just needed a little time with God, the Father, to pray and to reconnect? And so Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. Many times when I'm preparing for the message, I go to the same story in the other Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to see what they say or don't say about that same story. And I found it interesting, in Mark's Gospel, he only mentions Jesus praying 3 times in all of Mark's Gospel. But we know that Jesus prayed more than just 3 times in those 3 years. But this is one of those times where he mentions that Jesus went to the mountain and prayed. And each time in Mark's Gospel, when he mentions Jesus praying, he always tells us it's at night and Jesus is alone and the disciples are not with him. The focus now changes in the story from Jesus to the disciples. The boat is in the middle of the lake and Jesus was alone on the land. You know, have you ever noticed that whenever the disciples are separated from Jesus in Mark's Gospel, they fall into distress? Something interesting for you to go check out. But Jesus comes to them in their distress between the hours of 3 to 6 a.m. Jesus looks upon the disciples with that same compassion which he earlier looked out on the hungry crowds. Like Yahweh in the Old Testament, Jesus comes to deliver his people in need. And the deliverance becomes a self-revelation. The centerpiece of this story is the description of Jesus walking on the lake, about to pass by them. In the Old Testament, only God can walk on water. In walking on water towards the disciple, Jesus walks where only God can walk. As in forgiveness of sins in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. And in the power over nature when Jesus calms the storm. Walking on the lake identifies Jesus unmistakably with God. And this identification is reinforced when Jesus says, take courage, it is I am. It is I, don't be afraid. And those words should ring a little familiarity. Because those were the same words used when God's self-disclosure to Moses. Thus, Jesus not only walked in God's stead, but he also takes his name. But what I found interesting when I was going from Matthew's gospel, I went over to Mark's gospel, and Mark doesn't talk about Peter walking on the water. He focuses on Jesus. But then he says this, Jesus intended to pass them by. So Jesus sees that they're in distress. He's on the land. He's praying on the mountain. He sees the storm. He sees the disciples. They are in agony. They're stressing out. They are afraid. He comes to them in their distress. But then the scripture says he intended to pass them by. Doesn't that baffle anybody else or just me? Why would Jesus pass me by if I'm in distress? It says in verse 48, he was about to pass by them. In the Old Testament, however, this nondescript phrase is charged with special force, signaling a rare self-revelation of God. Today, we would use the fancy word of a theophany. Those defining moments when God made a striking and temporary appearance in the earthly realm to a select individual or group for the purpose of communicating a message. God put Moses in a cleft in a rock so Moses could see while my glory passes by. The Lord passed before him in Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 32, and 34. And then God told Elijah to stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by in 1 Kings. I think the most important precursor to this idea comes from Job chapter 9, verses 8 and 11. And it says this: God alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. When he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. That quote from Job has similarities to our verse 48, for treads the waves of the sea, contains the same wording from Mark's gospel of passing by. When Job, in this story in Job chapter 9, he is recounting the awesome separation between God and humanity when he says, God can do what humanity cannot do and can never conceive of doing on their own. It's God's wisdom. It's beyond compare. He moves mountains, shakes the earth, obscures the sun, arrays the heavens in splendor, and treads on the waves of the sea. This God cannot be conceived in any human categories. Any natural explanation of this act would just be foolish and pointless. The God described by Job is holy God, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy God and holy other, and can never be confused with human beings. So the glory of the transcendent God who reveals himself in Jesus is literally intending to pass by the disciples. God performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be numbered. But when Jesus passes by the disciples on the lake that day, he does something differently from the revelation of God in the Old Testament. Jesus does something differently from the revelation of God in the Old Testament. Jesus intends to make the mysterious and unknowable God of Job and Moses and Elijah tangible and visible like it has never been and could not have been to former generations. The God of Israel, majestic and awesome, but unknowable face to face, is now passing by believers in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is walking on the water to his disciples as a revelation of the glory that he shares with the Father and the compassion that he extends to his followers, you and me. In Mark's gospel, one must, just like the disciples, be in the boat with Jesus and enter into the drama in order to behold who Jesus is. The one who calmed the storms is now the one who now appears in the storm, telling you, I am the great I am, do not be afraid. There is a pattern to these stories. In each case, God had to get people's attention. Anybody here hard-headed? I know. Mark's like, I am. Me too, Mark. In each case, God had to get people's attention through a burning bush, the wind or the fire, or a whisper, or walking on the water. With each person, God was going to call them to do something extraordinary. Each situation, the person that God called felt afraid. But every time the people said yes to their calling, they experienced the power of God in their lives in a ways that they could never have imagined. And so when Jesus came to the disciples on the water intending to pass them by, he was not just doing a magic trick. He was revealing his divine presence and powers, God incarnate. My pastor, when he would be preaching when I was a new Christian, he would always call the disciples the disciples. And I was like, why does he say that? Because I'm kind of like that. I don't get it. Like, what's he talking about? I thought I was a disciple. Because you think, when we read this story in the Bible, we think, well, why didn't they recognize Jesus walking on the water? Hello. I mean, why didn't they recognize him? And it's so easy for us today to say that. The disciples didn't fully grasp it yet, but God was visiting them in the water, walking flesh. And I don't think you and I would have been any different and not recognizing that at that moment. Maybe some of you are quicker disciples than me. Matthew's gospel, when he is writing, he wants his readers to know that sometimes it takes eyes of faith to recognize when Jesus is around. When Matthew is writing to his readers and we're reading it, to know that Jesus often comes when we least expect it, like 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning in the middle of a storm. I do believe that those divine appointments, defining moments, will come to you and to me throughout our life. God still asks his followers to do extraordinary things. And if we are not looking for him, we might just miss him. I haven't always said yes. I have said no many times. I haven't always gotten out of the boat. And it makes me think of the 12 disciples who were in the boat, and 11 of them, we don't know what they were thinking. We don't know when they heard Jesus say, come. What were they thinking? Perhaps with confusion or wonder or disbelief, like, oh yeah, right. You want me to come? Or maybe they felt all of that. But one of them, Peter, was about to become a water walker. He recognized that God was present, even in the most unlikely place. He realized that this was an extraordinary opportunity for spiritual adventure and growth. You see, water walkers struggle between fear and faith. Water walkers struggle between fear and faith. Yet water walkers recognize God's presence often in the middle of the storm, tormented by the waves of disappointment and doubt. Peter blurts out, he definitely was an extrovert. I can understand that. Peter blurts out to Jesus, if it is you, command me to come to you and to walk on the water. Peter blurts out, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water. You see, water walkers discern between faith and foolishness. The story is about extraordinary discipleship. This story is about obedience. This story is about trusting God in all areas, in all situations, in all compartments of our lives. You see, water walkers get out of the boat. I want you to imagine that you are in the story. In your mind's eye, can you picture what the wind looks like? How violent is the storm for you? It was strong enough to keep the seasoned professionals struggling just to keep the boat floating. Imagine the size of the waves. Imagine hearing the wind. Imagine how cold you are with the waters. And it's dark, and you're in the middle of the sea. These are the conditions in which Peter was going to get out of the boat. Put yourself in his shoes just for a moment. It would have been tough enough to try to walk on the water when the water was calm and the sun was bright and you were warm and the air was still. Imagine trying to do it when the waves are crashing, the wind is at a gate's force, and it's 3 in the morning. And you are terrified. Put yourself in Peter's place for a moment. And then you have this idea, a sudden insight into what Jesus is doing. The Lord is passing by. And he's inviting you to go on the adventure of your life. But at the same time, you are scared to death. What will you choose? So if you see yourself in the picture, what will you choose? Will you choose the water or the boat? What will you choose, the water or the boat? Because I believe that Peter's walk that day is an invitation to each of us right here, right now, like him, who want to step out in faith, who want to experience something more of the power and more of the presence of God in our life. Let water walking be a picture of doing with God's help what you could never even imagine doing all by yourself. Can you imagine if Diane, our VBS coordinator, thought she could get everything all ready for VBS by herself? She's like, never. So when God calls us to strange places, sometimes in strange ways to develop a gift or to let go of something or to sing for the first time in front of a body, and there's always a call. There is always a call. There is always fear. There is always, though, reassurance. There is always a decision. Will you say yes? Will you say no? Will you not say anything because you think that's not a decision, but it is? There's always a decision, and there's always, always a changed life for those who say yes and for those who say no. So this is our sermon series about recognizing how God calls us as individuals to step out of the boat and how different seasons in our life, that boat may represent different things for us. So are you ready to go on a walk, whatever that might be? Maybe. Heavenly Father, we come as your beautiful children here to this place to worship you, to remind ourselves that we cannot do it all on our own, even though most of us try. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our day-to-day, ordinary lives so that we can be a part of something so extraordinary, Lord, that we don't have all the pieces. Lord, we lift up all of these quilts for the people that you already have in mind on where they will go. We pray for healing. We pray for comfort. We pray for your presence. Amen.